Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of coming together as your children. Lord, we're so, so thankful for everything you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you that you looked down through the endless ages of time and you saw us tonight. This is a night when you ordained us to be here. We made a choice to be here. And Lord, you made a choice to teach us. You want to teach us your word. And so, Father, we position ourselves tonight to hear. You're right here with us. You're right here with us, yes, not only in us, but with us, corporately and individually. And you love us so much that you want us to know you in the fullness of who you are and to know who we are. We thank you for this word tonight, Lord, as we study your goodness. We thank you for revealing your goodness to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So you know what we're talking about, the goodness of God. That's what our title is. And this is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, part 39. And we're studying the goodness of God. This is part 2. Last week we had part 1. Goodness as being one of the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, that's another attribute of God. It's part of his character. And the word says, as he is, so are we in this world. His character is supposed to, is our character, whether we receive it and walk in it or not. It is who we are. We are goodness, like he is goodness. And if we're not walking in the ways of the Lord, then we're abnormal, because that's who we are. And I don't want to walk through life abnormal. It's too costly. It costs my eternity, and I don't want that. Price is too high. So let's go over here, do our little statement, the beginning of our statement for this section on goodness. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are habitually others-centered. The fruit of goodness is a habitual lifestyle for this person. He walks through his life. He's just a good person.
Amen.
He's good. It's obvious that this person is good. It's because there's fruit on his tree. There's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is coming forth and is shining forth in his life. But he's habitually walks that way. You'll very seldom, if ever, you'll find this guy when he's not being good. He's just good. How many people in this world would be totally different if they just start practicing goodness and making it a habitual lifestyle in who they are? Practicing being good, what God calls good, you know, because you want to be that way. I mean, do you want to be around bad people all the time that always need an omni? I personally don't. I enjoy being around somebody that's actually wants to be good. So this is the way we're supposed to be. And if we practice this fruit, you'll find, as we studied last week, it puts us in a place of favor, not only with God, but favor with man. I mean, you'll get opportunities that nobody else gets. You'll go into, like one guy, a couple was at an airline place, and this guy was, man, he was booked. There was so many people going through, and this attendant, they had all their flights booked, and he was telling this guy, well, we don't have no openings. And the guy in front of this other couple got real mad, and they were talking to him and cussing him and everything else. So he left. This other couple came up and was very nice. So we understand you're a lot of trouble, that a lot of time, and you're tired and all. And they presented themselves in a kind way.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, wait a minute, we've got one place for you. So he took them and seated them on this plane. They had an opening. And he told them, he said, I would have helped them. But the way they treated me, I wasn't going to. Mm-hmm. But because of your attitude. And that's the way it is. If you're a good person, you'll have favor when nobody else does. Because you're kind. You're normally kind. And this is something we need to practice in our life. Not many of us practice it. We just kind of flow with whatever the season is at the moment. You're mad when they get mad. You're glad when they get glad, you know, one guy said. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at Psalm 145 again. This is Amplified Classic. And most of these are New King James. We stopped with this verse last week. We didn't get finished with the goodness of God last week, so that's why part two. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, the entirety of things created. Notice the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and loving kindness. Those are attributes of God. Those are parts of his character. It's the way he is. It's not just something he decides to do occasionally. This is who he is. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. Full of something means there's no room for anything else. Why is he full of compassion? Because he's love. Compassion and love flow together. And he's slow to anger. Why? Because he's love. But what does his anger, what is it focused on? Sin. It's focused on anything that separates man from God. That's where his anger is focused. Not on the person. He's angry at the sin of the separation from God. And if you won't release that sin, if you continue to do that and won't repent and you keep going that way, then you're linked to it. You're hooked to that. So his anger affects you because it's against the sin. Mm-hmm. It's not that he's angry at you. He gave you a way out of there. See, he gave you, you can repent anytime you want to. You can turn away from it. You can walk away from that anytime. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is, you can walk away from it. He gave you a way, and you have a right to do that as a man, as a species of man. He gave you the right to change your mind. A free will choice. But if you don't, then you go where the sin goes. That's how important it is to make these decisions. He loves you, and he gave you a free will. He will not interfere with that. But he will let you know what's wrong. He will give you the way out of it. He will show you how. He'll send laborers across your pathway to help you out. But you may not want to do it. So that's the way it is. But he's good to all. There's no one he's not good to. Everyone, past, present, and future, God is good. He's good to them. It may not look like he is, but he is. Because that's who he is. Again, if they refuse to go the way of goodness, then they will have to suffer for that. The sin is in the world. It will come against them. So let's look at Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. Sounds familiar, don't it? His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Just take a moment and look at each phrase there. For the Lord is good, and we've talked about that in the previous verse, in the previous message. He is the person good. He is good. He just doesn't function good. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. Well, how long is everlasting?
Forever.
It means there's never a point in time or eternity where his mercy is not available. And that blows my mind. You know, some places where God is showing his mercy, we would never do that because of the evil that's there. But no matter how deep the evil is, no matter what it is or who it is, his mercy is extended there. Why? So they don't have to be that way. See, they can move away from that anytime they want to. No matter who they are, No matter what they've done, God's mercy has already been extended. Because he is mercy. The way he's loved, the way he's good, he is mercy. Other scriptures say he's full of tender mercy and loving kindness. Usually the Amplified will put tender mercy and loving kindness together in a verse. Not every version does that, but the Amplified does that a lot. They put the two together because they're related. So he is good to all. We know that. His mercy is everlasting or endless. But notice about his truth in the next statement. And his truth endures to all generations. All generations. His truth, his mercy, his goodness were extended the second the man fell. And it's never been withdrawn. All those covenants, all of them were mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah was mercy. Because that's all he's capable of. But notice what surrounded Sodom and Gomorrah. He came first along with two angels, God and two angels. It was probably Jesus. But God and two angels came to his covenant partner first and talked to him and told him what they were going to do. And then gave his covenant partner, Abraham, an opportunity to communicate back. It was man as a species in Abraham communicating back with God. They were sharing what was going to happen. And Abraham comes up, well, if there's 50, would you destroy it? And he kept going down and he stopped at 10. And God each time said, no, if we can find 50, 40, on down, if we can find that many there that are righteous, then I will not destroy it. But Abraham stopped at 10. Why? Because that was a number of Lot's family. Lot was over there. See? So the angels went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they walked in. Lot takes care of them. All of the whole city tries to get to the angels because they think they're men. But Lot protects them. And the angels tell them, you have to leave. Says, we can't destroy this until you leave. So they held all of them. I see mercy all through that. So Lot leaves and his family takes his family. And they were told not to look back. But his wife did. She was missing what was going on back to what she was leaving. So she turned into a pillar of salt. But God saved Lot because they were righteous. Even though Abraham stopped at 10, he still got Lot out of there. All I see there is mercy. Nineveh, the same way. He sends Jonah. Jonah did not want to go. We read that a couple weeks ago. He did not want to go. He wanted Nineveh to be destroyed because they hated Nineveh for what they'd done. But God sent him. He's supposed to preach to Nineveh. They repented and God withdrew his mercy. I just see it all through the Bible. And if you look at every covenant, all those situations, Pharaoh and before Israel left, the Exodus that they had before them, his mercy towards even Pharaoh, giving him all those opportunities. And just place after place after place after place. There's never a point when God's mercy, loving kindness is not present. It's always there. Anyone, anytime, anywhere can go free if they want to. And see, I need that deep inside my heart. So when I'm looking and ministering to people or when they're coming against me, they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. They're coming against me. But I am not supposed to return evil for evil. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to love in his place. And that's why. Because his mercy is being extended through me. To that person. So it's very important for us to realize that. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his goodness, loving kindness, and mercy are everlasting to all generations. A generation is considered to be about 40 years. But if it's all generations, that's all the way through. There's never a generation that his mercy is not extended to. You know how many Christians really know that, what we've been talking about? They don't know that. The majority of them are not taught that. They're taught about a mean, angry God that's got wrath, and he does at sin. He's going to burn your barn down, have tornadoes running through your town, kill everybody that there is because they're mean. No, that's not what he does. He paid the price for the mean person, so they didn't have to be mean. That's what that cross is about. See, there is one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's Satan. He's a master at it. And he's a deceiver. He doesn't mind you blaming God for that. Matter of fact, if you blame God for it, you won't go to God for help. As long as he can keep you deceived into blaming God for your problems, you won't go to him for help. Because you're blaming him for it.
And you're scared.
You're fearing God. God don't want you afraid of him. That's silly. To say, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and then I want you afraid of me though. I'm not going there. The goon's in there. You know, I'm not going in there. But God's arms are open. Come all. Come all. It's up to the person to come. But his mercy has been extended. Boy, we need to know that. Hebrews 13:8. We're about turning there unless you want to. We'll be there just a minute. Because that's the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's almost every version that I know of says it that way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because they are one. In other words, they will never change. And I need to know that. When I find out about God's mercy and loving kindness and grace that's been extended to us, when I find out about that, he's not going to change. So that will always be available. There's never a point where it will not be available. Because God is love, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in his goodness, by grace, he poured out his abundant, everlasting love and mercy towards all of mankind. That is why he did it. It's because he is love. He is love. So love poured it out. It's something he had to do. Now we're going to look at this one. This is the Amplified. So, but God. Now, we tie these scriptures to what we've read about his goodness being everlasting and all. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy. See, that's why he did it. Love has to be satisfied without being able to be poured out, given and flown out to someone or to, in this case, God to man, it's no longer love. It hurts when you can't pour out yourself. That's what love does. It's other-centered. So God had to satisfy that love, or he would have to cease being God. God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Not just Michael, and not just even Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not Paul only. Mm-hmm. Us. That us is everyone. past, present, and future, all that will ever exist. That intense love has been poured out for us, even when we were dead. So he wasn't waiting for us to come to him. He wasn't waiting for us to cry out. He took the step first, because love had to be poured out. That's why Jesus went to the cross alone and laid his own life down. He said, I lay my life down and I pick it up again. No one takes my life from me. He laid it down on purpose for Michael. No one's ever done that for me. I know what I've done. You know what you've done. And most certainly didn't deserve what he did. So he laid his life down. But even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive. We didn't just become alive. He made us alive. Like you make something. Mm-hmm. You take this clay and you make it. He made us alive. Glory be to God. He made us alive together. So there's not just one here. It's together. Together in fellowship and in union with Christ. So he made us alive mm-hmm. with Christ. Yes. When? When he was raised from the dead. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which he quickened him. How can that be? There's only one Holy Spirit. And there's only one Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Mm-hmm. And that's the same Spirit that's living in us.
Amen.
It read Hebrews. It talks about that. Mm-hmm. It's the same Spirit. There's only one. It took as much power to raise Jesus from the dead as it did to raise us from the dead. Mm-hmm. It had never been done before. He went into hell, folks. I mean, we need to get that in our head. If he didn't go, we have to. Yes. There is no way out of that. And he took our place.
Thank you, Lord.
So we don't ever have to put a foot in hell. But I make that choice in my life right now. I choose right now whether I'm going to hell or not. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose to go. By rejecting Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. So he quickened or brought to life us with the same life he gave Christ. Mm-hmm. It is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by the virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. In heaven right now, there's the Father. Mm-hmm. There's Jesus the Son. Yes. And we're in him. And there's the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ. Seated in heavenly places, or in his authority. When he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he gave us the right to use his name. Now, he's using my name in heaven as he intercedes for me. I gave him my name. I gave him my sin. I gave him everything that Michael was when I got born again. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. I brought my life to him when I got born again, when I received Jesus. He took my life, I took his. We exchanged lives. I am in Christ. That is so awesome, and so are you. If you're born again, you're in Christ. You may not know it, but you're in him. That seating is very important. Because when we take this word, mm-hmm. we take it in his name. Mm-hmm. We have a right to the name because we're in Him. He gave it to us. So when I speak in the name of Jesus, it's the same as if He said it. He backs that. So it's important.
So if we say we're in Christ, is that just like our spirit is joined with His mm-hmm. spirit? Is
yes.
that what it's saying?
Yes. We are one.
We are one.
We are one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and man. Just the way Jesus prayed in John 17. He prayed that prayer that way. So that in a few hours when He went to the cross, that would manifest. That would become reality. It's the Father's will. It's the Father's will. That's what He wants. That we be one with them. That the world may know.
Like when we're saved, then our Holy Spirit or our spirit joins with.
Yeah.
Our spirit man joins with.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It says in Colossians chapter 3 that you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we are like. It's,
our life is His life.
Like an envelope that we are inside of Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Nevertheless, I live. That's what Paul was saying. So it's important. We need to study these things. It blows your head off in the creek when you read them because that can't be.
Yeah.
Read it again. It is.
It's hard.
Either it's truth or the whole thing is a lie.
Right. Absolutely.
And God's word is absolute truth. Amen. I need to be settled on that. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I love that. Now, John 3:16 follows that. We're going to look at the King James, New King James and the Amplified here. We've got to compare them. For God so loved the world. Isn't that what we just read in Ephesians 3?
Yes.
Or in Ephesians chapter 2? Mm-hmm. We just read that. And we read that in those other verses. So here, John is saying, for God so loved the world. Now, that's everyone in it. That's including Hitler and everybody else is so evil.
Yeah.
They're in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, now that whoever is conditional.
Conditional, yeah.
But it's also a qualifier. Everyone that has ever lived or ever will live is a whosoever.
Is a whosoever.
Or a whoever. I'm a whoever.
Whoever, yeah.
But it means that I got to choose. That whoever believes, see, that's the condition, in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's look at the Amplified. I love it. John 3:16, Amplified Classic. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. That puts the emphasis on it that I believe is really being said. Greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that He even gave up His only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, and this is what believing means, you'll find it throughout the Amplified, trusts in, clings to, relies on. That's what believing means. If I believe Him, I'm trusting Him. I'm clinging to Him. Mm-hmm. And I'm relying on Him. If I'm not doing that, then I don't believe Him. Trust in, clings to, relies on Him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Do you see the goodness of God in those scriptures?
Yes.
We're talking about the fruit of goodness. Well, that's His character. Can you see in the scriptures we read the goodness of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if a person, whether you know Jesus or not, mm-hmm. can't see goodness in that,
mm-hmm.
man, I got a doubt that you're even alive.
Yeah.
Now let's look in the New King James. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come. Stop on phrases and words as you read. Mm-hmm. What is that telling me? But when the fullness of time had come. That means that there's a process been going on. Mm-hmm. There's a process. When did it start? It started when Adam fell. Mm. That process of time, certain things had to take place. Building blocks, circumstances, things being in place before Jesus could come. And he could only come at a certain time. He couldn't come at any other time. There had to be certain things in place. Not just spiritually, but certain things in the natural had to be in place. Rome had to be there. So and certain people had to be in leadership. Certain covenants had to be made all through. The Abrahamic covenant. Moses had to take place. All of those things are leading to when the fullness of time had come. And that's a very important statement. I need to realize that this is not just something that God did on the spur of the moment. Get up one morning and say, I got it, guys. Today, Jesus, you're going to go to earth and you're going to die on the cross. Isn't that awesome? Wait a minute, boss. You know, no, I don't think that quite happened that way, but it was a secret hidden in God, and Jesus was one with it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to come. Mm-hmm. There was no question, Jesus wanted to come. He wanted to die on that cross for you and I. And the Holy Spirit wanted to do what he was going to do. This is a God thing, the all three working together. They wanted to do this. Because of their great love. That's so awesome to me. But all those things had to be in place. Read the Old Testament and look at it that way. Mm-hmm. This is a building block. A building block to the fullness of time. All of the prophets, all of that had to take place. Specific times, specific people, specific apostles. In place. And folks, that hasn't changed. It's still functioning that way. We are here at a specific time for a specific reason. Now, I've been here 74 years, Nate 43, and you know, Joe's not 20 yet. He will be, but he's not 20. But these are pre-planned by God.
Yes.
We're here. We're here for a specific time. We just look at our life as the little things that go on in our daily life, our job, our different relationships, our different things that we do every day. But no, that's all building to something. It's building something. And we don't realize it. I'm an integral part of God's plan. And so are you.
Amazing.
It just blows my mind when I think about it. His plan is not 1 second off. He knows exactly what's going on and who will walk with him. But his mercy is extended to those who will not, even though he knows they will not. But some of them will. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. Specific date, specific time. Born of a woman under the law. Born under the law. He had to be born of a woman, but without a man. Because if he was born of a man, he would be connected to Adam's sin. So that's why everything had to be in place. There had to be a specific woman. Did he search for others? We'll never know. But Mary said yes. She had everything in place. She was the right woman. And Elizabeth was the right woman before her for John the Baptist. They all had to be there. And that angel, the same angel, came to both of them. Mm-hmm. And read that Christmas story in the beginning of Luke. It's very awesome. But it had to be a virgin. And the child had to be born of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But that could not happen unless the woman said yes. Mm-hmm. She had to say yes. Mm-hmm. Then his life had to leave. When he was born, there had to be certain shepherds in place. Mm-hmm. The wise men had to be coming up through their lives. They were born, they grew up in various places and different things and come up and became what they were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. To be there 2 years later, after the birth of Jesus, they didn't come on Christmas, they came 2 years later. Mm-hmm. To the house, not to the manger. Mm-hmm. And they had to bring these gifts. Because these gifts were going to take care of the child Jesus in Egypt. Jesus had to go to Egypt because they were going to kill him. So he went to Egypt, but these wise men brought the gifts that were to pay for his time in Egypt and take care of them while he was there. And then a certain time, he came back. It's so neat, you know. When you read it and you think about the time frames, the intricate pattern and fabric that God has woven. And I'm in there. I don't know what apostle I'm linked to. Mm-hmm. But we all are linked to one of them, at least, maybe more than one. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And my father had to be my father. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. It blows your mind when you start reading these things. Mm-hmm. Born of a woman, born under the law. He had to be born under the law. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Or your hearts, or our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are heirs of God. What are we heirs of? Everything in this book. We're heirs of eternity. We're heirs of salvation. We're heirs of love and grace and mercy. We're heirs of these things. They belong to us. We're heirs of the very peace of Jesus himself. John 14:27. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The Amplified says, my peace I give and bequeath to you. A will is in place. Praise God. It's his peace. That's why we can walk in peace through the troubles and storms of life. Because he gave it to us. The Holy Spirit. Peace himself living in us. Glory be to God. And then I got to say this. John 3:1. This just caps what I've been saying. It says, behold. I love that word. Behold what a manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Behold. I mean, it's like this announcement, man. Trumpets, that's what happened when Jesus was born. Those angels came. And that's what they said. They announced it. Glory to God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, or bestowed on Michael. What love the Father has bestowed on Michael, that Michael should be called a child of God. And further down it says, and that's what we are. You know, so I am. I want to go through these real quickly. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. He says it again. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. That don't mean sickness and disease. That suffering means anything it costs us to walk the love walk, to walk with God, to be who we're supposed to be, to carry this gospel into all the world. That's the suffering. It's presenting the gospel, carrying the gospel, walking the love walk. They're suffering with that. It's not peaches and roses and cream. It is, but there's those that don't like you. So there's a struggle that goes with it. But we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heir, you know, that means we're heirs together. We got the same thing. If Jesus got it, we got it. Praise God. You know, someday we're going to have to sit down and read these things and start thinking, this is real. This is real. It's real. I believe it. It's not just somebody saying a few neat little cliches here and there. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if that was true? No, it's true, whether I believe it or not. But it becomes mine when I believe it.
Amen.
That's why I always say, I don't say Jesus is Lord. I say Jesus is absolute Lord, whether I believe it or not. It doesn't change who he is. None of whatever I do doesn't change the word. It doesn't change that I'm a joint heir. I change its effect on me, but it doesn't change the word because it's absolute truth. And when we die, we'll find out how true it really is. I don't want to wait. Do you? You want to wait and find out, you know what? That was true. Oh, sorry. You got to go to hell. You really believe it now, don't you? But you can't do anything about it. See, that's the sad thing. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you, all roads lead to the cross. But there's two roads lead away from the cross. One to heaven, which is through the cross. The other one is away from the cross to hell. There's only two. And we're all on one of them. That's why that picture up there means so much. Behind me. Okay, this is amplified. He, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not. How much more positive can you get? You think he means it? I think he means it. Psalm 23:6. I just got one, two more here, and I'm just going to read them. Oops. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's desire. He wants us to live forever with him. And the last one is Psalm 27:13-14. I love the way the New King James says it. Amplified is great, but in this case, I like this one better. This is David. I would have lost heart. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like you lost heart? I think all of us have, and if not, you will be.
Yeah.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Did David have problems in life? He had more than we'll probably ever face. He ranked right up there with Paul and Jesus. He had problems. But yet he comes here and said, I would have lost heart in all that I went through. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's he saying? I'm believing your word, Lord. I trust you. We got to get to a place in our life where we trust God. We trust him. That's when our faith will start growing. No matter what the circumstances are, I trust you, Lord. I don't understand this. I don't understand the ins and outs, and no man does, but you do. And you know my way, And you make a way where there is no way. And I trust you, Lord. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. My times are in your hands. Those are Psalms, scriptures. Psalm 25:1, and I forget where the other one is, but it's in the early part of Psalms. But can we say that in our daily life? You know, I may be struggling today, but I may struggle more tomorrow. But if I can say, I trust the Lord today, that builds my faith to trust Him tomorrow. Don't ever let the enemy put you in a place where you doubt God. Keep going back to the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Any comments or anything? No. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for this Word tonight. We thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I really like this. I like this. It stirs our hearts up, stirs us up. And Father, I thank you that you're teaching us. You're teaching us every moment how to choose in our now moments. We love you, Lord. We set our love upon you. We thank you that your arms of love have circled us and wrapped us and enfolded us in your love. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.